So here we go. Guys, my name's Brian. Love you to death. I'm one of your pastors here. Guess what we're talking about this week and next week? Guys, we're talking about sex. Here we go. It's so exciting, right? Woo! Yeah. The last few weeks, we've been talking about lots of things from Proverbs. We've been talking about our heart. We've been talking about our tongue. We've been talking about money. We've been talking about our vision. And for this week and next week, we're going to talk about sex, all right? But don't get too excited, because this week, if you did not notice in your handout, or if you look at the beginning of Proverbs 5, it says, warning against adultery. So I get to be the Debbie Downer for you this morning, and I apologize, but I will not apologize for the word of God. Next week, Pastor Josh will be up here talking about all the wonderful things that it involves with marriage and sex and intimacy and your spouse, and it's going to be so rad. But today, there's a warning. I'm your Debbie Downer. I apologize. And for you who are parents who may have some of the younger kiddos in the room this morning, we're going to talk about some pretty adult stuff, which is okay, but I'm just going to leave that discretion up to you. Your kiddos might be asking you some very interesting questions at lunch today, okay? So God will give you grace. You can do it, Mom and Dad. So a little bit more worn up. We're going to be grown up here. Proverbs chapter 5 is where we'll be for this week and next week, and as we see right here at the very beginning, it is a warning against adultery. And again, let me just say, we at The Rock Church, we think sex is amazing. We think sex in the context of marriage is a beautiful thing. We love it. We're for it. We enjoy it. We think God has created it, and he has created it. It's a beautiful thing that sex is so awesome and wonderful inside of marriage, and it's rad. We will proclaim that. We will shout that. We are not embarrassed to talk about that whatsoever, and it's a wonderful thing. And today, we're talking about the no of sex, adultery, infidelity. And so we're on the same page. Here's some random definitions I found, kind of pulled and copied and pasted from the internet. We're talking about infidelity. What is that? The act of having a romantic or sexual relationship with someone other than one's husband or wife. We know what we're talking about, okay? Adultery, voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and a person who is not his or her spouse. So we're on the same page. We know what we're talking about. Sex with somebody who is not the person God gave me to be married to and enjoy forever. Adultery, infidelity. And before you go, whoa, hold on, I'm not married, so I'm good. Or you think, you know what? Never been unfaithful to my spouse. I'm golden here. Or you're sinking into your head, oh, I've never committed adultery and I never will, so I'm going to check out now. If that's you, I want you to stop right there. That's a wrong understanding to have this morning. This is not just my random opinion about some things. This is God's word. This is what God's word says about sexual immorality and purity and holiness. All scripture is God-breathed in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's profitable for you to teach us, to train us, to correct us. So if you have that view right now that you think, oh, this is a bag that I'll never open, so I'm safe. You're wrong. You need to have a right understanding. God wants to correct that wrong idea that you're immune to anything that could trail from sexual infidelity, immorality, and adultery. If you've ever looked at another person in a sexual fantasizing way that's not your spouse, you need Proverbs 5. If you've ever pushed the lines with somebody, you've brushed up onto everything but sexual intercourse with somebody. Oh, it's my boyfriend. We've been living together for 14 years. We plan to get married in spring of 2024. We're pretty much married in our hearts, but we haven't actually had sex. If that's you, you're wrong. You need Proverbs 5. If you have porn openly on your laptop or secretly behind the passcode on your cell phone, you need Proverbs 5. If you're married and you've privately texted or emailed or called someone of the opposite sex or the same sex that you know you're attracted to, maybe you've even fantasized about what could happen if, oh, I just maybe if this could became something more. If that's you, you need Proverbs 5. If you failed to love your spouse, to be sexually intimate with your spouse, you need Proverbs 5. If you failed to obey Ephesians 5 and love your spouse, you need Proverbs 5. If you flirted with a married person, you need Proverbs 5. If you thought, if my life would be so much better if with her, or if my husband would act more like him, you need Proverbs 5. If you have intentionally in your heart let your passions and your desires and your eyes wander to go be satisfied and gratified by someone who's not your spouse, you need Proverbs 5. And I can go on, but I think I've covered everybody. This message is for me. This message is for you. This is God's word, and his word is truth, so we need to listen. In honest truth, every person in this room has sexual sin. Every person in this room, whether it's in a form of regret of sexual sin in the past or shame, what came from the aftermath of sexual immorality or your sexual history, or maybe you've been betrayed by a loved one, or maybe you're possibly in deep sexual sin today. This infidelity, this sexual immorality, this adultery, it's not a new thing. This message is for everybody. And statistics, we know, we love stats, right? I think it says the national average of divorce is like 40 to 50%. And I think if you look at the actual statistics of like born-again Christians, it's like 33%. Like Protestant, bought with a price, I love Jesus, I'm in fellowship, I worship the Lord of God with all my heart. I think those statistics for divorce is like closer to like 33%. Another survey I read said about 20% of men have admitted to cheating on their spouse. So that's one out of five men. You get any dudes in a room together, you get the room like this, not just, I'm just saying one out of five men, right? 15% of women have admitted to having an affair on their spouse. And that's just who actually admit it, right? If we pulled up a survey today, I really doubt many people are going to admit to committing adultery on their spouse. So it's kind of terrifying to think of what those statistics really are, right? Another random survey, it was a questionnaire. He was asking people, all these people, he was saying, if you could get away with committing adultery on your spouse, you could have that affair and you know you wouldn't get caught, would you do it? That was the question that they asked. And the survey said, bing, 80%. The people who took that survey said, if I could cheat on my spouse knowing I would never get caught, 80% said yes. And we've kind of just become dull and immune to these kind of stats. We don't think much of this past the tip of our own noses, while statistically, it's ripped apart the lives of somebody to your left or your right. And God's word today, it's a warning that we would snap out of this delusion that we couldn't become one of those statistics, that we are above that, that we are so spiritual that we are immune to these spiritual attacks and sexual temptations. No, we are not immune here. All sexual sin is a deception. It tempts us. It tries to lure us and promises us things that will gratify us and pleasures, but it just leaves you with a stench of shame and grief. Sexual sin will deceive you into believing that what it's going to give you is going to last. That feeling that you're getting will last forever. And it's an age-old tool used by the fool, the devil himself. And we are not immune to that kind of deception. Sexual sin is a spiritual warfare, and we're not immune to it, brothers and sisters. And I know this topic it can stir up really painful wounds from your past or from maybe your present. But my hope is that through all of this, that we would be people who see holiness is more serious, that we would see God's word as more vital for our protection, that we as people would be revolted. We as God's people would be revolted by the thought or the temptation of sexual immorality or infidelity, adultery on our spouses. So today, we're in Proverbs 5, and like many of the chapters in Proverbs, it's this father, wisdom, talking to his son. But obviously, this applies to women as well, right? Sisters, we understand this. So when he's saying, son, listen to me, incline your ear to me, it's the same as daughter, listen to me. Baby, sweetie, little girl, I love you. You need to listen to me. It's the instruction of a father to his children. So let's get started. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 and 2.
My son, or my daughter, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. It starts off, pay attention. Listen up here, right? Incline your ear to my understanding. You need to get wisdom. That's the point of this series. God, give us wisdom. We need wisdom. And here's wisdom saying, listen to me. You want wisdom? Listen up. Take the headphones out. Listen to me. That you may keep discretion, meaning that you will learn to be careful. You will walk in truth. Your lips may guard knowledge. You will know what to say. You will know how to avoid, how to protect yourself from any kind of seduction, any sort of temptation, and your loved ones. The proverb starts, listen up. Pay attention. But here's the thing. You and I, we're good at not paying attention, especially when it's something we've heard before. I'll give you a perfect example. Anybody ever been on an airplane? There's these things called flight attendants. They get up there. God bless them. Nobody pays attention, right? They get up there and they go, this is a seatbelt. This is how it works. And you go, heard this before. Do you ever pay attention? Never. Never, right? You don't. Which is not very smart because wisdom says I should pay attention. Seatbelts, great. But then they also tell you about the flotation device. If this plane goes down, my seat all of a sudden becomes a flotation device. I should really pay attention. But do we ever listen to the flight attendant? No, we've heard it before. I don't need that. We're good. Proverbs 5 starts. It's God saying, hey, pay attention. Yeah, I know you heard this before. No, pay attention. Listen up. Well, let me paint it like this. Do you guys remember driver's ed back in the day? So back in my day, I think it was like 1999 when I took driver's ed. I doubt they do it now in our climate. But what they would do when you were in driver's ed is that they would show you car crash videos. Does anybody remember that? So, like, no joke, because they want to scare 15-year-old stupid kids into doing stupid things that 16-year-olds, bless their hearts, right? But they're so foolish. That's like, and it's so worse now, right? They watch TV while they drive. It's terrifying. God help us. But they used to show car crash videos. No joke. Just the aftermath, and it was disgusting. It was like, man, I don't want to be dumb behind the wheel because they're peeling that guy off the sidewalk. I don't want anything to do with that. I doubt they do that now. I'm sure you could YouTube it, but why would you, right? But they wanted to get the point across. They wanted to scare you to death. They wanted to scare the stupid out of you. I'm sorry, we don't use that word in our house, but I'm getting really passionate here. They wanted to scare the foolishness out of 16-year-old kids from killing themselves. So that's what Proverbs 5 is doing. God's trying to warn us. He's trying to shake us. No, you need to listen to me, or this is going to end horribly. And so this is where we go. You can follow along. I got three quick points for you. You can follow along in your handout. There's also a few other messages that I've preached just in the last little while on marriage and the progression of sexual sin. If you remember that from David's series, on the back of your handout, there's links to those sermons. So if you want some more, if you want a little bit more spanking, I know we all do, right? There's a couple more resources for you. But your first point is we see the warning of seduction. Father is telling his son, his daughter, listen to me, pay attention, because this road that you can go down is horrible. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. It says forbidden woman or forbidden man. This just simply means the stranger, the person from another household. We're talking about the man or the woman who's not your husband or your wife. That's what that means. The no, that's not the person God gave me in marriage. That's what this is. This warning, it's this person who's not your husband, not your spouse, but they're seductive and they find ways to work their way into your marriage. They'll find ways to work into your life, and they have these intentions. Right, his intention or her intention, it sounds sweet. There's seductive, there's lusts, and there's temptations. And what they say sounds sweet like honey. And Proverbs 5 is saying, baby, watch out for that person. That person who's not your spouse. They're talking seductively. What they're saying sounds sweet, and it may sound good, but the end is bitter as wormwood. That's a symbol for suffering. They're sharp as a two-edged sword. That's a symbol for death. It sounds good, but what it actually provides is death. This father is warning about seduction, about that person, that tempter that could be in your life. And they can be just use the simplest things, right? There's just a simple thing, words, right? And God's saying here that children, this has happened to godly people before. Marriages, families ripped apart by nothing small, nothing that started bigger than just some simple words. And it's going to happen to godly people again. This is historically true. We know the power of words. In Genesis 3, the devil's the father of lies, and he deceives mankind into sin by simply just saying some words. Did God really say, no, if you eat from that fruit, you're not going to die. You'll surely live. Just some words. Super seductive. And what happened? Sin came into the world. And death through sin. There's a warning here. Romans 16 teaches us cult leaders and false prophets and false teachers use the exact same thing, their words. It says they lead people astray with smooth talk and flattery, and they deceive the hearts of the naive just with words. And here in Proverbs 5, it's a seductive man or woman, this person who is not your spouse, using nothing more than words to entice you to fall into this snare of sexual sin. And it's a strong charge here, right? But it's a loving warning from a father that we must be on guard. We must protect ourselves from this person. And he continues in verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And that's it. That's how it always ends. Father wisdom here is saying, I'll give you the ending. Hey, spoiler alert, right? You want to know what happens at the end? Spoiler alert, it's death. That's the ending. Has anybody ever worked with a con man before? Hopefully not. Anybody been around liars, deceivers, a home wrecker? They never spoil the ending for you. They never tell you their intention, right? You never have, hey, you know, just so you know, I'm planning to take all of your money. Or, hey, what I'm about to say is going to kill you. Or, oh, FYI, we're a cult. We worship demons here. It's not going to end well for you. Or, hey, you know what? Come lay with me in this bed. Your marriage is going to be ruined. Your kids are going to hate you. Your name will be mocked. No, it never comes out like that. They never give you the ending. Father Wisdom saying, spoiler alert, it'll end in death. It will ruin you. You'll lose everything. Stay away. Don't even put yourself in that situation. And so let's be a little clear here. So am I saying you can't have friendships with anybody of the opposite sex? Am I saying that? No. Am I saying all friendships with the opposite sex end with sexual temptation and lead into sex and adultery and infidelity and sexual immorality? Am I saying that? No. But Father Wisdom in Proverbs 5 is warning us that this can happen to you. And it could start with nothing more than words from anyone. It starts small, that sin's progression. You don't just wake up in that bed. It starts small. It starts with a look. It starts with a conversation. It starts with a, hey, we're meeting up when nobody's around. Hey, now we're in the car. Now we're in the bed. You don't just wake up there. It starts small. Proverbs 5 is saying it's just words. We are so tempted to be led astray just with words. It's any person. It's just this forbidden woman or this strange man who's not my spouse. It could be anybody. It could be the casual friend, the woman at the office, the guy at the gym, your friend's husband, your friend's wife. Just friendships and acquaintances that start to become more intimate just because of words. And, oh, I kind of like what he said. He made me feel really good. Oh, and then all of a sudden you're trying to find more reasons to hang out with each other, or nothing happens. It's just like you guys are just at lunch with a bunch of people. It can happen in group settings. It can happen in Bible studies. And then you find yourself creating these opportunities because just some words that this person said, oh, I just want to be around them more. You know, you deceive yourself with thoughts like, oh, he just understands me so much more than my husband. Or you know what, the way that she talks to me, my wife doesn't talk to me like that. It starts small, just words. And then you're just wanting to be in their presence more, creating more opportunities. I just want to hear them. The way they make me feel feels so good. And then you're just wondering, I wonder how far we can push the limits before this thing gets out of control. And my friend, if that's ever been your life, it's already out of control. You've already lost control. God's warning us here. We'd be out of our right minds if we think this kind of scenario wouldn't happen to us, right? It could be anybody. Proverbs 5 isn't saying, hey, be careful. If there's ever a bikini model that shows up and knocks down your door and she throws herself onto you, you got to be really wise here. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, be careful. If Hugh Jackman shows up with a private jet and a three-piece suit and a bottle of wine, he's trying to, it's not that just elaborate fantasy. It's anybody. Stay away. Be careful. Be alert. He's warning us. We're out of our minds if we don't think this kind of scenario could not happen to us. You do not understand your own spiritual weakness in the spiritual war that's going on out there and in our hearts. We don't have a right understanding about ourselves if we think this couldn't happen to me, that I would never fall into sexual temptation. If you think that, you're deceiving yourself. Biblically, you're deceiving yourself. You're saying that you're smarter than Samson. Or you're stronger than Samson. You're smarter than Solomon. You're more godly than David. All those dudes failed in incredible ways. You're not more godly than them, Christian. Do not say, this could never happen to me. We're not immune here. We're prone to wander. Our hearts are so ready to worship and fall down and be fulfilled by so many other things. We're the prodigal son. We're the prodigal daughters. Our flesh and our hearts fail us. We must be people who are on guard. We must protect ourselves. We must protect our marriages. And here as we go on, Father Wisdom gives us the most simple, practical, logical course of action that is the DNA of every believer. I'm just going to listen to God. I'm going to obey God. Verse 7, and now, O sons, O daughters, listen to me. Listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Wisdom, God, says, don't do that. Don't go over there. We're training children in our home. We say, no touch. That's what God's saying. No touch her. No touch him. Keep your way far from her. Remember the driver's ed videos? God's saying here, honey, sit down, watch these videos, watch these car crashes. It's horrible. You don't want to end up here. So listen to me. Take heed to my understanding. Do not depart from my words. Stay away from them. Don't go near the house. Do you have any barriers set up, my friends, to protect yourself? To protect your marriage for an invasion, a spiritual, sexual temptation attack like this? Do you have anything, barricades set up protecting your home? Do you have any banners hanging proclaiming who you are and what you stand for? When you got married, you had some things called vows. I think that's pretty much what you agreed to. Do you hang these? Is this the banner of your home? You know what? My marriage, I will not flirt with another man. I will not flirt with another woman. I'm not even going to entertain that. I will not entertain an advance from another woman. I will avoid any man who seems too interested in me. Is that your standard? I will not secretly meet with another woman. I will not secretly meet with another man. That's the banner you need to hang over your house. That's who we are. I don't step out of this house. I protect my house. I don't go near her house. I don't go near his house. This is my house. God gave me my spouse. God gave me this family. I'm going to cherish this. I'm going to protect it. I am not immune to the world. I need to protect my house. God says that's wisdom. And I'm not saying this to be a prude, that you must think every single person of the opposite sex is a devil from the pit of hell trying to lead you astray. I'm not saying that. As Christians, we are commanded to love people, befriend men and women, and love everybody and show compassion and hospitality towards everyone. That's the DNA of Christian love. But what I'm saying, what God's word is saying here, is that you need to protect your house. If you fortify and protect your home, then you'll be so caught up in enjoying the safety and provision of your home, you'll never even think about walking over to somebody else's house. If you don't approach the situation or the temptation, then you won't even be able to create it. It won't be there. Instead of fighting sexual temptation when it shows up, you can just avoid the temptation altogether. Don't go near it. Don't create the opportunities. Keep your ways far from it. That's wisdom. Don't go near it. It's the best advice that we can get. Just listen to God. Obey Jesus. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on the understanding of other people. God says, no, listen to me. Honey, look at me. Give me your ears. Pay attention. Put the headphones off. Take them off. Listen to me. But our hearts, we get immune to that. We go, I've already heard this before. Yeah, thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah, I don't need to listen to this. We'll listen to anybody else. We want advice, we want tips, we want tricks, we want get-rich-quick schemes, we want anything that can help us improve areas of our life, and then we ignore the most simple and plain truths of listen to Dad. Pastor Voody Baucham said this, we do marriage according to Dr. Phil, we raise our children according to Dr. Spock, we govern our sexual lives according to Dr. Ruth, and only run to Dr. Jesus when things have gotten so bad we can't find another doctor to help us. How about that? We beat down the doors of all the wrong doctors. As a pastor, so much counseling is done because of this, because Jesus is always the last result. He's never the first doc. He's never the doctor on call. But verse 7 says, oh now, oh sons, oh daughters, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. That's who we listen to. Everything else is just noise. As God's people, it would be spiritual suicide if we do not believe how important it is that we listen to God's word, that we absorb it and we ingest it and we take heed to it and we obey it. And God's warning us of this seduction and we can set ourselves up for success. But the proverb continues. For those who do not listen here, who will not take the headphones out, who will not take the blinders off, this trap of seduction comes with an incredible price. The price that you will pay for committing adultery on your husband or your spouse and the grief and betrayal that will come from that goes way beyond that shameful, regretful drive home. The price you will pay. Listen to these words. It's just like a life crumbling, falling apart. In verse 8, keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Verse 9, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, and strangers take their fill of your strength, and your labors go to the house of the foreigner. There it goes. There goes all my stuff. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and your body is consumed, and you say, oh, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. This is a person who's become a slave. They thought they were the master. They thought they were driving the boat. And they were deceived for moments of pleasure, and it's made them a prisoner. Everything is taken from them. It says, give your honor to others. It's what used to be yours has been taken from you. It makes me think of the man who abandons his wife and his family for another woman, and he loses the most honoring thing of his life. He loses his wife. He loses his family. He loses his home. He hands it all over. And then Lord willing, right? God bless that Lord willing. That woman finds this new man, and this man takes her to be his wife, and then he takes her kids to be his kids. And then that man, who's lost everything, stands outside like a fool in the rain, peeking through the window, looking at some other man who's taken over and has now got his family. That man's a fool. He lost everything for a moment with the girl in the office. Everything. He's a fool, biblically fool. At the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. Most commentators that I was reading this week say this is very clearly, they're talking about like venereal disease. They're talking about sexually transmitted diseases. We'll give you a few of these stats. Sorry, I didn't provide you with any hand sanitizer. 1 out of 2, or 50% if you're a mathematician, of sexually active people will contract an STI, sexually transmitted infection, by age 25. 80% of sexually active people will get an HPV infection at some point in their life. 1 out of 8 people, aged 14 to 49 are infected with HSV. That's mouth and genital herpes. That's just a nice way to not have to say mouth and genital herpes. I'll say it again. Mouth and genital herpes. I think it's even, what is the stats? It was close to 90% of the people when diagnosed didn't even know they had it. So imagine how many undiagnosed cases. You can go ahead and bump that up a little bit. In 2015, 1.5 million new cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis reported. Again, just reported. Estimated 1.4 to 2.2 million people in the U.S. living with hepatitis. Again, reported, estimated. And then 1.1 people in the United States of America living with HIV. One out of seven don't know they even carry the virus. What an absolute nightmare. And when God says, just don't even go near that house. Don't even go near that person. Just protect your house. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your husband. Pastor Josh will speak about that a whole lot next week, and you're going to be so thankful that I'm not here. But this doesn't happen. This doesn't have to happen. God has given us so much freedom in sexual satisfaction with my spouse in marriage, and it's safe, and it's clean, and it's holy. Jesus, thank you that I get to enjoy my wife for the rest of my life and I don't have to worry about any of this mess. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given me a spouse that I can enjoy for the rest of my life. This doesn't ever happen, has to happen to us, beloved. God loves us and he's provided a way to protect us. He says, listen to me, just listen to me. Just listen and obey daddy. One of my brothers shared this with me. He said, consider this. Imagine what this world would look like if every human being on planet Earth made in the image of God and believed and walked in the truth of they made in the image of God and they took God's holiness seriously and they took their holiness serious. And imagine if every person on planet Earth only had sex with their spouse in the context of marriage. Everybody obeyed Jesus when it came to sexual purity and holiness. Think about what wouldn't exist if sin didn't enter our world. Think about what wouldn't exist. STDs and teenage pregnancy and rape and abortion, the divorce rate. If we were a world that loved the God who made us and created us to be satisfied with him and the spouse that he's given us forever, imagine what the world would look like. Has disobeying God and his word when it comes to sexual morality, is it benefiting our society? Is this improving life? Is our world a better place? No, I think this stuff should disgust us a little bit, and that's my final point this morning. Point number three, I think we need to be disgusted with sexual sin, with adultery, infidelity. It needs to disgust us. Jesus, listen to this, it's pretty strong language. We've heard this before, Matthew 5. You have heard what it is said. You shall not commit adultery. Command. Don't disobey dad here. Do not commit adultery. But I say to you, Jesus turns the heat up. Everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent, everybody who looks at a man with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in her heart. So Jesus says, turn the heat up. It's not just the physical action. I'm judging the heart. Think it, boom. Not going to end well for you. But here's where it gets a little bit more gross. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than to your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right eye, or if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. And we spend a lot of time reading these verses and we go, oh, the H word. Oh, man, don't like thinking about that. And that's true. You should think about hell. It's scary. People are going there. You should not want to go there, okay? Hell is serious. Jesus is talking about a serious warning about hell. But think about the graphic ways Jesus is painting this picture about sexual sin. He's pretty serious about us fleeing sexual immorality. He's using this imagery that should be physically repulsive to us. It should make you throw up in your mouth a little bit. That if I'm tempted to look at another person, sexually sin with another woman who's not my wife, it would be better that I grab the spork out of my mashed potatoes and carve my eyeball out. That's gross. If you want to touch and sin sexually against your husband and with someone else, go grab the hacksaw and cut your right hand clean off. That's disgusting. That's gross. And Jesus says that. He's saying, I want you to think about this. Put this image in your head. Cutting your hand off, gouging your eyeball out. I want you to believe that that is better than committing adultery on your spouse. That is less disgusting than committing adultery with your spouse. Cutting your hand off will be more beneficial for you in this life than losing your wife and your children and your family and your name. It would be smarter for you to cut your eyeball out and cut your hand off than walk and live in that life. And we're not even talking about the consequences of hell. He's just saying it would be smarter for you to do that. It should be that disgusting, sexual sin. It should revolt us. It should just absolutely make us want to just throw up, whether it's the warning in Proverbs 5, which is strong language, or it's the warning here from Jesus in Matthew 5. God is warning us that the seriousness of our sin is not worth it. It's deception, and it's been destroying marriages and families since the beginning. It will bring you shame and guilt that you just do not want to carry with you. If you want, on the back of your handout, I got this from a website called familylife.com. I adapted it a little bit. But there's a list this pastor wrote of just the devastating effects of what could happen if I committed adultery on my spouse or my husband or my wife. I just want you to look at that. It's painful to think about, but that's yours. You're welcome. But we need to be people who think our sexual sin is serious. You need to ask God. You need to pray that God would help you to see sexual sin as devastating, as detestable, as disgusting. Your sexual sin will never be worth it. It will ruin you. But it doesn't have to be the end of you. You see, the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into the world to die to save sexual sinners. Jesus is alive today. And he brings hope and forgiveness to all who trust in him. So that's what the first half of Proverbs 5 is teaching. That we would be people who consider the outcome of not listening to our Father, of entertaining the words or pushing the lines of what I might be able to get away with and my spouse not know about. No, that should disgust us, that we would be revolted by the thought that that is something that could happen in my marriage. That's what Proverbs 5 is teaching us. And beloved, I know for many of you, this is hard to hear. I just want you to know that I love you. Your pastors here love you. I'm not judging. I'm not condemning anybody in this room. I know for many in this room, this topic of infidelity and adultery is very real and very painful for you. I know that. I know there's those in this room who've suffered incredible pain because of sin committed against them. And for those of you who are in Jesus today, this morning, and your heart has been broken by the betrayal of a spouse, beloved, you must remember that Jesus understands what that betrayal is like. You have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with you. Jesus understands being abandoned and crushed by his loved ones, and he is able to meet you in that place and love you in a way that no one else ever can. You need to cling to that faithfulness. With his spirit and by his power, he will help you to love and to heal and to forgive and have joy again. Beloved, you must believe that if that's you. You must believe that Jesus Christ is bigger than anything that could happen to you in this momentary world. For those of you who are in Jesus and you were the one who committed adultery on your spouse, these words today may ring true in your past, and it's painful to reimagine what led you to that course, and it brings great sorrow and grief. And beloved, if that's you, you must remember, if you are in Christ and you've repented and you have forsaken that sin, you've confessed that sin, you are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are loved by this amazing God who became man to die for the sexual sins you committed against your spouse. And you've been washed, you've been made new, and you must every day rest in that truth. You must believe what it says in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And maybe you're under my voice today, and this is the road, I'm sorry, that you've gone down in the past, Or maybe you're going down this road as we speak and you haven't been found out yet. Or the grief and the shame that that sexual sin you've committed is eating you up and you don't know what to do. My friend, there is hope for the adulterer. There is hope in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Jesus came to die to save sinners. You must repent of your sin. You must confess and forsake in your sin and trust in Jesus. And there are marriages in this room who are fruit of that, who have fallen into this snare of adultery, and there has been pain, and there has been heartache, and there has been suffering. But because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has stepped in, God has invaded, and he's done this amazing work in a powerful way in those marriages, and those marriages have been redeemed. Those marriages are stronger than ever before because of the gospel, because of the word of Jesus Christ. If you were here joining us this morning for the first time or the second time or the 23rd time, and you're not a Christian, you need to know this is the best news that you will ever hear, that Jesus Christ came into the world and died to save you. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ for all our sins. Jesus Christ is the God who loves you, who died for you, who rose victoriously from the grave for you and sits on the throne. He is our perfect God and King who is able to save you today. He has allowed you to freely come to him and receive his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness and his new life and his heaven. Do not let the sin of adultery be the end of your marriage. The gospel is bigger than all of that. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ that can heal and repair the most horrible circumstance. My friends, if you are not here, you need, and you are not a Christian, you must trust in this great God today. Your life will be wasted if you don't have him. Do not waste your precious life. You need to become a Christian today. You need to turn from all of your sin and trust in his power and ability to save you and save your marriage, to restore you to the joy of salvation. So my friend, I invite you today, no matter where you are in your walk of faith and spirituality, you are incomplete without Christ. You need to become a Christian today and give Jesus all of your mess, and he will give you all of his glory. It's his promise. So let's bow our heads, let's pray. We're gonna sing one more song, and let's thank Jesus for his incredible love. Lord, we do, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word of warning here in Proverbs chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is truth, and you take holiness serious, God. I ask that you would help us to take our holiness, our purity, as serious too. I pray for the marriages in this room that they would be strengthened by your word, nobody else's word, nobody else's ideas. Jesus, they would be strengthened in their marriage by your word. It's the only hope that their marriage has to last. I ask that you would give us hearts that are disgusted by the thought of committing sexual sin against our spouse. Thank you for your word, that it is truth and it is wisdom that is able to protect us. And Lord, I pray for those who are in sexual sin, that they're hiding this deep secret, that Father, you would expose them. God, you will not be mocked. That sin will not be hidden. I pray that by your Spirit, you would expose them and you would draw them to your Son by the power of your Holy Spirit through restoration and repentance, that they would cling to you, Jesus. And friends, if that's you today, you don't know this love and this forgiveness of Jesus in a life-changing way, I invite you to cry out to him today to give you a new heart that would just be on fire for Jesus, that you would recognize your sinfulness and you would see his perfect righteousness and you would run to him as a good father who would rescue you from a bad guy, that you would trust in his death, his life, his resurrection to save you from all of your sins. My friends, if you believe in that truth, that's called good news, that's called gospel. If you trust in him, you will be saved. Jesus came into the world and he died to save sinners. You call upon his mercy and grace and become a Christian today. If that's your prayer, I encourage you today to come speak with me after service. Just say, hey, that's my heart. That's becoming a Christian. That's what that means, friend. You'd come say, hey, I think I need to become a Christian. You come to my friends at the Connections booth. You say, hey, I need to know more about this gospel. You can write your name on that prayer card in front of you in that chair. You can put your name and your email down and you can say, hey, I need to become a Christian. Will you help me with this? And we'll talk to you. You put that in the prayer box. You leave that on your seat. We will follow up with you. We want to help you know this joy in a complete way. Father, I thank you for your word. We love you. Thank you that you love our marriages. Thank you that you want to protect us. You are a good, good father. Jesus, we're going to sing one more song in response to how beautiful and good you've been to us. It's in your beautiful, glorious name we pray. Amen.